But we haven't been this nervous with the guests in a while.
Yes.
Why? We're both huge fans.
Yeah, we're huge fans. And
thank you.
And it's one of these amazingly surreal moments. Listeners, dear listeners, we have the great honor and pleasure to have Sharon Stone here. And I say
it's
that
terribly
because
exciting
it is,
for all of us.
This is the first time in sim that I feel pretty, I guess like
pretty
the,
pretty. You're pretty pretty.
No, I don't feel that. I feel like I don't know my words. Like I've lost the ability to speak. That is fucked up.
Spit it out.
Okay, Sharon Stone, you're in my dining room, and
it's a very lovely dining room, I might add.
And I'm so thrilled that you're here, and I can't thank you enough.
Thank you.
And so I was thinking about, normally when we have a guest, I think about kind of, well, what would interest that person, and so I thought of a couple of ideas to talk to, like to sort of get them going.
Rainbows and kittens.
Rainbows and kittens. Okay, so the first thing that I want to talk to you about a little bit is, I was talking to Sim, and this doesn't, I just want to hear your thoughts on a couple of subjects, but I was talking to Sim about, because I was watching an incredible performance by this actress who's an unconventional beauty. And she's doing this naked scene, and she's kind of oiled up, and she's got armpit hair, and it's wildly sexy. And I was thinking about how somebody can convey sexual energy,
mm-hmm.
because that's something I'm really fucking bad at, because it makes me so nervous. Like if a photographer says, "Oh, sexy, sexy, be sexy," I want to burst out in laughter. I have no idea how. To have,
laughing is sexy.
You think? I don't know if my laugh is sexy.
Of course it is. That's why you're so popular. You know, I think that when people say that they're not sexy and they don't know what's going on. You know, when I was doing Basic Instinct and we had that scene in the police station.
I don't remember that one.
I said, you know, I'm not going to wear some low-cut dress and some stupid. I'm not just going to be that kind of way to the director. And the director said, "I don't care if you wear a turtleneck and a bun." And I said, "Good, because that's kind of what I wanted to do." And he said, "Great, do that." And I just feel like, you know, real sexuality is in your mind.
Right.
And you know, when you're with someone sexually, it's happening in your mind that is what's making it's a body, mind, and spirit connection when everything is really at its best. And I think in your acting, if you can't connect with it, it's because you're not disciplining yourself to the wholeness of the experience.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're naked or if you're wearing a chair on your head. If you're in the scene,
I'm going to fuck you with a chair on your head.
Exactly. It'll be the same. It won't matter. You could, in a crisis moment, in a dramatic scene, be up against a wall, jammed against a bunch of broken furniture, having a chair over your head, and the only way out is if you can fuck somebody to let you go. And
I like this movie.
but you won't care if you're naked in the scene.
Right.
If you're fighting for your life.
Right.
You won't, because you don't care. You wouldn't certainly care in the moment because you're fighting for your life.
Right.
So it's has to be bigger, the impact and importance of the scene. And if it isn't, then why are you really naked?
Right. And I've always had a problem, and I'm sure Sim will disagree with me on this, but in comedies, when there's suddenly tits. Like, I love...
But tits can be funny.
Can they? I don't know.
I mean, I talked Albert Brooks into allowing me to be naked in The Muse.
Interesting.
I wanted to be naked because I get in the scene, and in, with Andy McDowell, and I don't want her to be in the bed with me. And I'm like, well, the best way to have her not be in the bed with me is if I don't put any clothes on.
Yeah.
And Albert's like, well, what would that look like? I'm like, it would look like my big ass getting in the bed naked. And I think that's funny because she'd be horrified.
Right, and contextualized, yeah.
I think she'd just be like so horrified that I would do that, that she wouldn't want to get in.
But you're right. I totally concede to your point. But I do think that tits out of nowhere are a little, without a reason.
Well, like, like American Pie or movies like, you know, which are sex comedies, for example.
Well,
really funny ones where you expect that. And it's, maybe you don't get a laugh when it shows up, but that's part of the
I just want to look at the tits.
I flash you right now in the audience.
Really?
Yeah, look.
Woo!
Right?
Oh, I got tonight. I got it. I own this shit. Come on, Ferris. Podcast your little ass off. But no.
See, you can show your whole audience right now. And,
yeah.
And they will laugh.
Well, are you guys laughing? Please laugh through my nervousness. Okay, so, and then the other thing we were talking about, sexuality for me, it just taps into something that I'm insecure about, you know? And there's, I
why?
Have. Why? Oh, lots of reasons we could be here for hours.
So one.
Oh, I guess my mom instilling a lot of modesty in me, even though I'm very raunchy. I think I think that's why I'm.
What did she say about it?
Oh, she just was very sexually conservative. She just wanted me to, you know, be a virgin until I was married. And believe it or not, I wasn't.
You broke her heart into a million tiny pieces. Okay. I think that that's a pretty American perspective.
Yeah. Wouldn't it have been nice? I wish I was raised in Denmark.
I don't think that the human body is such a, I just don't see it as such a big,
yeah,
deal.
I wish I'm learning, but I'm 40 now, but I feel like I'm coming into a more sensual place in my life, I guess.
I think that 40 is probably the most sensual, that's just the most wonderful time when you turn 40 and you finally are like, there's a different perspective on your womanhood and your womanness. It's a beautiful age. It's great. I remember turning 40 and I was like, oh, I'm 40. It was like, ooh.
There is power in it. Maybe that's why I say it.
Yeah, it's very, I don't know how to explain it.
I had a different wave when I turned 30. I think I'm still figuring out what my 40 wave is. But when I turned 30, I had this feeling that I didn't expect, but a feeling of power and liberation. And it kind of took me by surprise, because in this town, you're supposed to dread those mile markers. And but embracing them, I don't know, feels a lot better.
I don't think you have to go into agreement with any kind of oppression.
Yeah.
I think that's a waste of stress.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
I prefer to use my stress on other less important things.
Like what?
You know, can't get the jar open.
Do you get any road rage? What ticks you off? I hate it when people wait for a parking space.
I don't like bad taste.
Oh, I have a lot of bad taste in this room.
Did you see the anatomy
of the penis, though?
No. You have a lot of joy. You have a lot of joy and a lot of, you're like at home.
Yes.
Here,
yeah.
Which is nice. And there's a lot of, you can see a lot about who you and your family are, which is very warm and really nice.
Oh, good.
Yeah. My house is much more disciplined and sterile than yours.
That's what I want, though. I want that.
You'll grow into it.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to have your children break all the things that you now have and hold dear to you. And then once they're all gone, you go for modern.
Yeah. Jack, last night, I gave him a chocolate pretzel because that's what I did at night and I, whatever. Anyway, he was holding on to it, and then he put his hands on my duvet. And now I have these little chocolate handprints on my duvet. And I was thinking, I'm not going to wash that. I was like, I need to keep that. I can buy like I'm fortunate enough to be able to buy another duvet if I want, but I want like this thing messed up and loved. And I was like, maybe I'm just going to keep this as like...
I think this is what happens. You know, you get things and you're precious about them, and then you get children and then nothing really matters.
Right.
And then you go through like a period of that, and then they hit a certain age and you're like, okay, we're done and we're going to clean out the house.
Yeah.
And then the garbage trucks move up and you just throw away. Everything is in shreds.
Right.
And then you do a little redecoration, and then they realize that their days are numbered.
Love that. Okay, so we do a segment on our podcast, which is ridiculous, called Deal Breakers.
Mm-hmm.
And... so it's in the dating world.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm not deeply involved in that world.
You can just...
Not that I'm opposed to
These
it.
Are just your opinions and your thoughts
okay.
that you can share with us. Okay, would this be a deal breaker? He doesn't have a cell phone. You can explore anything you want.
Not a deal breaker.
Okay.
Really?
No.
Why is that?
They might leave me alone. It might not be, where are you? What are you doing? What's going on? They might actually be a person who would speak to you, like sit down, call you on an old-fashioned phone and have an actual conversation with you instead of thinking that endless texting was a relationship.
But what about the other way around? What if you wanted to get through to him, or what if you wanted to say something to him?
I might not. I might be fine with, I'll talk to you when I
really?
See you. I might not need to have the urgent, constant. I'm not the, my relationship is an appendage person.
Okay.
I'm individuated in relationship.
That is amazing.
That's amazing. That's absolutely
How do
incredible.
We get so enlightened? Will you teach us? I want to have the tea you're having. I like that. You
do.
I like it that you... Yeah. I like it that you made a deal breaker, because usually we set them up so they're sort of negative. Oh. But I love it that you swung it around and you're like, no, actually, this is my man.
Yeah, where is he? Let's get him over here.
Okay, his name is Zen.
You know, that could be okay. He might have had those kind of hippie parents that grew up in a commune. And
we discussed
then
this.
He might be a person who's like, really am not going to be that.
He has
He's
no
not
last
that.
Name. His name is just Zen.
He is not that. He is actually an international promoter of clubs. But not his, that's not
what
his.
What kind of clubs?
Oh, like, I like this.
Nightclubs or
dance clubs, EDM clubs.
Yeah. Oh, those kind of clubs.
All over the world. Tel Aviv.
Dubai.
Dubai. Hey, babe.
Is he... So he's a Middle Eastern guy named Zen.
No, he's actually from, where is he from? He's from Tulsa, originally, but then he moved to New York.
How old is he?
He's 47. But he says that he's in his fourth decade.
You might know my guy. A cowboy named Zen who has clubs all over the world. I'd have to roll him out here with no cell phone. He might be my guy.
Okay, our Zen is in.
Can he ride horses? And
yeah, kind of.
Good. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Both of them, first two, not deal breakers.
Not deal breakers.
He takes you to a nice restaurant and uses a gift card to pay.
That's okay.
So on a first date. On a first date.
A first date.
Okay, so maybe someone loved him enough to want to have him take someone out and go somewhere nice.
Yeah?
Also okay with me.
Well, Sim, will you tell, when we were talking about this earlier, I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but Sim had a different take
on
it.
Yeah, I just thought it might be a little embarrassing on the first date.
Well, tell your story.
Because I think, well... I remember I was on a first date and I took her to a restaurant, but my friend had already given me a gift card to that restaurant.
Uh-huh.
I was debating whether or not I should use the gift card, but I thought that would just make me look like a cheapskate. I'm not going to do that.
I think it makes you look like someone loved you and gave you a lovely gift and wanted you to have a nice dinner with someone
but
else.
I think you're kinder than most people.
I feel like that's something that women would just start talking to their friends about. It's like, yeah, he took me on a first date. It was great. But then he used a gift card to pay for the dinner.
Right.
Well, then they're more interested in your display of your finances than they are in you.
That's so true. That's a very good point. Yeah.
What
no,
they,
I would.
Who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
she's right.
So
I
dump agree. That bitch.
You are very, very. Okay. He has a collection of his baby teeth in a jewelry box.
This look like I tapped oh, I think, into something.
I think this is finally. I think
well,
we finally got her.
Just because the tooth fairy had to come to my house last night.
Oh, okay.
Because my son lost another tooth yesterday, and I do have all of their
yes
baby teeth.
My mom does too. Yeah.
And I do you have your son's?
Yep. Well, he hasn't lost any teeth yet, but I will.
Right. And I have all of them, and it's like I have all these baby teeth, and you know maybe like. The guy's mother died and he has kept the teeth. She had the teeth and he thought that is unbelievable that she kept all my teeth. I don't know. Like I have all these teeth and it's like, I don't know what the hell to do with them. Do I like put them on a little chain
yes,
and have like a gold chain of all
so
these teeth, which I think
rad.
Would be so rad. And you put them on little
yes,
gold things
yeah.
and have like
Let's
a long,
people
like
out.
Opera length chain of
teeth,
baby teeth.
Them.
Don't you think that would be cool?
That would be, what about a choker?
Choker. I just think I have so many. I could have a long strand that I wrap a couple times and it's just all baby teeth. And I'm like, what's that? Baby teeth. What the hell's on your necklace? Baby teeth.
Baby teeth.
Baby teeth.
Baby teeth.
Just like that, real quick. Baby teeth.
That would scare the shit out of me in the best of ways.
You know, we get a lot of fan art. I already know someone's going to come up with a picture of Sharon wearing baby teeth.
Wearing baby teeth. Yeah, so I can't say that would totally be a deal breaker either because I've got a whole box of baby teeth myself. So I don't really, I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. Does he have kids? Maybe he's a single dad and got a whole lot. Or these are his own baby teeth.
Yeah.
So far, collected. All of these people have been turned, like...
No, she's accepted every single
yes.
one.
They're okay.
You're in a very accepting place in life. I
you
love
know,
that.
I'm a Buddhist. What can I say?
That's amazing.
People are people.
Are you into astrology?
Not profoundly.
What are you, do you mind my asking?
Pisces. My birthday was just the other day.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah.
I don't really know much about it. I'm a Sagittarius, but I don't really know anything about it.
We are supposed to get along the best of other people, other than Pisces get along with Pisces too.
My husband's a Gemini. One of the first like lines that he used for me was he said, you know, Sagittarians and Geminis are supposed to really hit it off. And I was like, oh God, get out of here. But I wasn't. I was like, actually, come on in.
See?
Yeah.
See?
It
whatever.
Worked.
Yeah. Okay, he has a tiny heart tattoo on his ball sack.
Ooh.
We finally got her.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
That's, that makes
it's
me
little.
Think that he likes pain.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He might. But maybe it was a long time ago. I don't know. I don't know what
that
is.
Makes me think that someone is into pain in a very odd way.
Mm-hmm.
That could be that could give me the willies. That right there could
yeah.
make me be like.
It's especially creepy the idea of a heart.
Any sort of tattoo on your genitals, you would gotta imagine would just hurt like crazy.
Especially on the scrotum.
Any of
yeah.
that, like. I wouldn't think that a buzzing hot needle on any of your private areas would be tremendously good. There'd have to be a damn good reason for that to be there. Like, you know, when they killed my whole family, I just had it happen in a hidden place, and I just wanted to do it. And I thought, what did I do? And I just, and it's there, and it's just, you have to take it. And then you'd be like, okay. Maybe. But otherwise, you'd be like, No.
No tiny heart tattoo on the ball sack.
No, I think unless you're, no. I don't know.
I think that we're pretty lucky as women that our genitalia are sort of tucked in there. We've talked before about the idea of retractable penises and if men would like that, but...
Have you ever heard Wanda Sykes stand up on the detachable pussy?
No.
You really want to see that.
I do.
It's a YouTube. You want to get right on that.
But wait, can you tell me, though, quickly, does she want a detachable pussy?
In this particular stand-up, routine, she discusses having a detachable vagina and what it's like when you go out for a jog and someone stops you and the whole thing. And then she left it at home in a shoebox and her boyfriend found it when she was out. It's the whole thing. It's just fantastic. It is, in, I would say, one of my all-time favorite stand-up pieces that I've ever
brilliant.
Seen.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
Yeah, it's like I can watch it 10 times and I'm still crying
okay.
when I see it.
Oh, I can't wait. I need mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so now...
Should we just go down to the how would you proceed before
yeah.
we go?
Yeah. Okay, so let's do this. This is called How Would You Proceed?
Okay.
Okay, you're filming a movie with Dame Maggie Smith.
Oh, that's a dream come true.
But during one of your most pivotal scenes, Maggie says your line, which is, "We got him!" And it's your line at the end of the movie.
Uh-huh.
And Dame Maggie Smith says, "We got him!" instead of you. And the director yells, "Cut." How would you proceed? Are you cool with...
If she said it instead of me, uh-huh. I would just look at her like, "You're fucking right, we did, baby." Are you kidding?
Would you say it or look?
If I had time, I'd look at her and go, "You're fucking right, we did, baby."
Okay, all right, let's do the scene.
Ready?
All right, and okay. Action.
English accent.
Okay, oh God. But, okay, Dame Maggie Smith is playing Cockney, okay?
Okay, go. All right,
and action.
We got it!
Fucking right.
Cut.
Maggie, you are so amazing.
Sharon Stone stole my line. I was supposed to have the ending line, and she went and took it.
You're going to have to talk to Sharon about that.
Cut me out. Just leave it on Maggie at the end.
But I don't want her to take the high road right now and get away with it.
Someone should punish me.
She can say it before my line. But I contractually have the last line of this fucking film.
Please give it to Maggie.
Sharon.
And could someone give Maggie something to beat me with?
Oh, fucking Sharon. She always wants me to fucking beat her. Fine. Fuck you. Yeah. Oh, get
Thank
out of here.
Thank you for the beating.
Fuck you. Okay. Should we do Karen
Sarducci?
Let's
do it. Yeah, okay. Let's do it.
Okay. This is Karen Sarducci.
Karen Sarducci is actually the CEO or the head of Imaginarium Films.
Walk her past the Oscars. Donovan, walk her past the Oscars. Donovan.
Sharon, I'm about to introduce you to Karen right
walk
now.
Her past
okay.
The...
Sorry, what'd you say?
Past the Oscars.
Oh, yes. Oh, if you can see all the Oscars that Karen has won.
Don't be fucking obvious.
Oh, sorry about
don't
that.
Don't be fucking...
Karen, I'd like you to
Hi.
Meet Sharon Stone.
How do you do?
Pleasure to meet you.
I'm Karen Sarducci. It is just so lovely. Thank you for coming. It's
my honor.
Oh, no. It's mine. I'm so grateful.
Of course it is.
I loved. I have a couple of movie ideas. I'd love your thoughts. We want you as our sort of flagship, if you will. You know, we just love you. I want to talk to you about a couple of movie ideas. Donovan, will you also get the pages and everything ready, please?
Yes, they're all right here.
Thank you.
It's all set for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Donovan, he's a snappy assistant.
Oh, he's wonderful. He's the fucking worst. He really is the fucking worst.
Just between you and me.
I heard that.
Fuck you.
I have an opening, Donovan, at my company.
I'm sorry. Sorry, you can have him if you'd like him. If you sign on to the movies, he's yours.
Are you being serious, Donovan. Sharon?
Okay, no, wait.
I'm a hard worker.
All right, let's do the movies.
The hard and the working.
The first movie that we wanted to talk to you about is called Casino 2, Foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
We would love for you to reprise your role as Ginger.
Mm-hmm. But she's dead.
No, we've worked that out.
And how does that go?
Well, you come back from the overdose and whatnot.
Is it a twin thing or is
it's you.
Right back.
They can do that now.
Oh, it's like one of those adrenaline to the heart Pulp
exactly.
Fiction kind of things. Yeah. Like the movie opens
easy. Easy peasy. Like we don't want that exact scene because that's so iconic, but maybe we could have somebody like stab you in the temple with the adrenaline shot.
I like it.
You're good. That
like
would
it.
Now that would be iconic, right, Donovan?
I think it's iconic.
Needle
like
temple.
Or, you know, in the Wall Street thing, maybe we could have someone like, you know, shoving it in my rectum. Or
so everyone you know
something.
Is your house is getting foreclosed upon. The casino is getting foreclosed upon. And literally everyone you know in Vegas, every single person's home is getting foreclosed upon.
I see.
So Ginger, as you know, knows her way out of a bad situation. So we're going to sort of build you as the heroine, sort of Aaron Brockovich.
Heroin dealer or actual?
Both. That's not a bad idea. Heroin. Donovan.
Heroin, who's also a heroin dealer. I got it.
Thank you. Maybe right. So anyway, do you like that idea? Because we're ready to green light.
And the director would be Scorsese again?
We're actually thinking one of the Stevens.
We are.
We are.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're thinking.
Oh, well, you know, edgy.
Yeah.
It's edgy.
Do you like it? Foreclosure, it's relevant.
It
is. I've heard about it. My children, Milo and Ventimiglia, we were just on our way back from Christchurch, is that correct?
That's right.
And we were...
You're a religious family.
No. We just went for my kids wanted to do that fucking, I don't know, what's it called, where you tumble down a hill in a balloon?
The balloon tumbling down the hill.
That's not what it's called, fucking, but anyway, in New Zealand, they like to do all those high risk things, you know, jumping off of shit and like, I don't know, what else, they go roll down a mountain in a bubble. What else do they do? They fucking zip line everywhere. They zip line to the fucking grocery store, don't they?
I see.
Down there, anyway.
I see.
But my kids fucking love it.
Is it like Australia and South Africa, where, what are those places called, where they sent criminals in the old days? It's the colonies originated with just criminals.
I think it's just, yeah, the Donovan, look it up.
Yes, I think that was, okay, I'll look it up.
There were like penal colony countries that started
right.
out like that.
Don't forget, penal.
Penal, mm-hmm. Look at it.
Yes, it was sort of like that. But I don't know, kids and their adrenaline. What makes my adrenaline rush, if you will, is collaborating with you.
I am just almost honored by that.
Well, as you can see, we Imaginarium has created, you know, a number of What was it done in?
Oscar-winning films.
I didn't want to say that because it's whatever. But you can see for yourself.
It's self-flagellating.
Yes. So Casino 2 Foreclosure, we'll talk to your agent about it.
I think that's a spectacular idea. I'm not sure that I can work it into my schedule, though. I've signed on for a number of animated films.
We can make this animated. Because, you know what?
Now, intriguing to consider.
R-rated animation is the rage. We're all getting into it.
So it's an angry film.
It's an angry, well, Ginger.
It has rage.
It's for foreclosure. Everyone.
It's a rage-driven animated
it's
film.
It's a rage-driven, yes. You
I like
are.
That. I like that. I like that.
You do. I'm so glad.
Yeah, you know, it's like the Fight Club of animation.
Yes. It is like the like
you know.
We could have Ginger. Would you like to be dual personalities?
Never before has anyone spoken my language so succinctly. am at one with you, Karen. It's really, I feel like a wash in a kind of a warm bath of dual comprehension.
Yes, I love warm baths. That is how I relax. In fact,
shall we?
I do. Would you?
Do you want me to set up the executive bath for both of you?
Yes, Donovan. I would.
Okay.
Perhaps we have found his.
I'm actually
oeuvre.
I'm feeling it a little dirty, so.
Likewise.
I want to get clean. I want to get clean with you, Sharon.
That might take some time.
Bath salts or bubbles?
Salts.
Salty. It'll take salts.
Okay. Don't leave out the pepper.
And if Mauritius calls, tell him I'm not here. Ooh, it's warm.
Well, thank you for seeing me today.
Thank you for seeing who I really am, too.
Pleasure is mine.
Oh, Sharon.
I'm going to close the door.
I knew that you would take Karen down, but I didn't know how.
She did it. She took Karen down.
She totally did.
I gave that girl a bath.
Oh, my God. She needs one so badly.
I gave her a little scrubby-dubby.
Whoa, that was intense. I might have to take a breather. Holy shit.
Let's do a five-minute break, and then we can do our two calls, and then we can end the show.
I'm in love with Sharon's tone. I love you, Chris
naughty,
Pratt,
naughty.
But I gotta tell you, something's going on in my heart.
You have a little scrubby
dog. Another region.
We might have to see what's inside the little doll.
We're gonna call Charlene first, and she's actually in Paris, France.
Oh.
And she's waking up for us. It must be
middle of the night.
3 a.m.
Right.
Hey,
hi.
Charlene.
Hi.
Hi, Charlene. It's Anna and Sim.
Hi.
And you're not.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. And
bonsoir.
The most amazing.
Bonsoir.
Sharon Stone is here.
Hello.
Thank you for waking up.
Ça va bien?
Well, thank you for calling me. I mean,
what time is it over there?
It's almost 3.
We'll get through this quickly so you can wake up for work.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Charlene, talk to us about this new guy you're dating.
Okay, so I met this guy on Tinder 2 months ago. He's British. I'm French, and it's been going very well. He's a gentleman. He's perfect. Everything is perfect, but one thing is that. Even though we have great chemistry, he has a very low sex drive and I don't. And I'm worried that it starts to become a problem, an issue in our couple.
Oh, man.
I have found in my experience when men are perfect and they have a low sex drive that they're not always entirely heterosexual.
Oh.
And that you have to really be sure that they are or that there aren't, sometimes they're just not wholly sexual, that some people either are not wholly heterosexual or they're not wholly sexually engaged. And if they aren't in the beginning, they don't become more sexually engaged. They become less. And people who are not sexually engaged with you and yet are perfect in every other way, this is not a relationship that's going to get better. It's going to get worse. And then the problems that ensue from the lack of sexuality create in the person who is not getting sexually cared for tremendous sense of insecurity and lack of validation.
Yes, yeah.
So they're really not perfect in every way. They are overcompensating for the fact that you do not have the intercourse and of sexual intimacy. So it doesn't go where you want it to go. And I would say that this is not going to be your mate.
Wow.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, Sharon, that was incredible. How do you feel? How do you feel?
I don't know. I think, well, my theory is more like he's 30 and his love life has been just a series of disappointments. Women would only friend zone him, reject him.
Do you have to think to yourself, do those stories add up to someone who has had a lot of reasons not to have a sexuality or not?
Probably. I think it's very low self-esteem. He has no self-confidence at all, especially with women. Yeah.
Well, are you his therapist or nurse or his partner?
Oh, no.
You told me yesterday that you were willing to try and help him and be patient with him. So, but I'm wondering, because when she was telling me that, I was thinking that's probably not going to work. I think he's pretty much, like you said, probably set in his ways.
What I'm thinking is, why? You've known him for 2 months. He's not your project. It's one thing if you'd been with him for 15 years and then this right. suddenly happened. But you've known him for only 2 months and he came like this. It's like, you know, these shoes don't fit.
How does he react when you like initiate, or like, does he just kind of shut you? Like, how does that go?
Well, he's the one that initiates. He's very into it when he is. It's just, he's not kinky. He won't, for instance, when we see each other, it would be only one time. There won't be any second time for sure. Earlier we had a conversation and I said I was very stressed out and I needed to relax. And he said, well, tomorrow we can have dinner and either sex. And I made a joke and I said, well, can we have sex 3 times? And he said, oh, well, you're asking for the impossible.
Yeah. But you like sex. I love you.
I like sex.
I like sex. I know. I love that.
Yeah. I think people who are wanting to have an intimate relationship with someone in their life generally just like sex. I don't think it's mm-hmm. just you, or that you should think that you're different than anyone else. I think that on an average, people like sex. We've been taught not to talk about it or not to say so, or to think that if we ask for it, that's not okay.
But I've been raised otherwise, so that's good. So open-minded family and yeah.
And he probably has the opposite, right?
Well, yeah, he's British. He was raised in a very British family, very repressed.
I wonder if maybe the newness of the relationship is a factor too.
I think he's impressed by my experience. The first night, I handled things that made him very nervous. And then, well, I realized that he needed to be approached in a more gentle way. He definitely enjoys
sex. You're a tiger.
Well, that's good. He enjoys it. Yeah,
he's enjoying it. He's having a good time. He said that I was probably the best sex he's had. So that's good. It's just that it's...
So maybe he just needed to meet you. Maybe he just needed to meet you and to bring it out of him. I don't know.
It's still not enough for me.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. You're allowed to have a partner that's enough for you. You're not engaged or married or going steady. You don't have to have sex with only him either, P.S.
Ooh, now we're talking. I like this.
You're allowed to have other partners. You don't have a committed relationship with this guy. Just use condoms to be, you know, take care of yourself.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Well, I don't really plan on
you
having
like him
multiple
a lot.
Partners. I do. He's great. He's very supportive.
But can a relationship sustain itself if there's no sex or lack of sex?
You know what? It's too early to make this call, I think. Only 2 months.
But what Sharon was saying, if it's this bad this early, it's probably not going to get much better, right?
Well, it actually becomes very stressful because you have more of an emotional investment and then you're getting less support on the investment that you're making. So it becomes more problematic and more stressful and more difficult to disengage.
Yeah,
I have found that these situations are a boat with a hole in it that only gets more and more water in the boat. I don't think that these are things that you resolve. This is a problem the person comes with. It's not something that you can fix. And
damn.
Yeah, I'm not really trying to fix it, but maybe understand it. But
do you think understanding it is going to resolve your sexual tension?
No, I think I need a way to approach this without ruffling him or making him feel uncomfortable. I want to talk to him about it without making him think that he doesn't satisfy me or I don't
want to
hurt his feeling.
What do you want to accomplish in the discussion?
I want to understand first what's going on. He told me he had anxiety with sex. He told me that, but he never told me why. Maybe a way I could approach him just sexually, like,
You understand if you do that, you're going to open a door to seeing if he's had sexual abuse in his life or if he's had sexual trauma, because this is a big, this is not a small question you're asking of a person.
And that's the thing. I've been abused in the past and I'm dealing with it right now. And he's been very supportive with me on that. So I'd be able to understand and to help him, well, not just help him, but just to listen to him. So he knows that I'm the right person to tell those things. If it comes from a trauma, I mean.
So it seems as though you have some sort of mirroring going on where there's something about him that's touching something about you in a way that you don't want to let go of a thing that you clearly identify as a problem.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe the bigger issue is what's going on with you, that while you are clear to see it as a problem in him and as a dysfunction in him and your relationship, you can't let it go, and it might be easier to work it out by working out his problems. It might be more beneficial to you if you are in some therapeutic relationship to figure out what is this problem that you're mirroring out in the relationship with him and trying to get him to speak about so you can fix it in him instead of addressing whatever it is that's actually creating this interlock with him and you, because you're clearly stating in a person that you barely know some kind of deep-seated attachment to an issue that you call a problem, a dissatisfaction and a real problem and something that's not working for you. And considering that you really don't know this person, that's a big... it's a big connection. It's a lot of glue. So considering that it has a lot of glue, you might want to find out in your own therapeutic relationship what it's grabbing onto in you and address yourself instead of trying to work it out through this person who's practically a stranger and bringing yet another issue that's similar or same to your own issues into your life right now and complicating it and finding an escape route from addressing your own stuff.
Wow. Will you be my life coach, Sharon Stone?
Seriously.
I need your help too.
I mean, you know, this is not at all unusual. And it is certainly not at all unusual for anyone, since you claim that you have had an abuse issue, and an abuse issue you're addressing, which I have to say, congratulations. That takes a lot of courage and a lot of introspection, and it's a very big and wonderful thing. And since at least 3 out of 5 of every woman have been abused, it's a brave and good thing for you not only to do, but to talk about on the air. So good for you for doing it. But certainly, 3 out of every 5 women have been sexually abused by the time they're 18 years old. So given that, and these are times when others should have been protecting young women and girls, this is time when the scarring is very deep and people feel very out of control. And then sometimes it's very difficult for us to, as adults, as 30-year-old and 40-year-olds, to take ownership of the whole self and address it. So it's easier sometimes to look at other people and to even partner with other people who mirror some of the crises that we've had, the crises of that period. And we don't understand why we're getting involved with these people when it's, we see this big attraction and we think that they're perfect. Well, we're seeing the perfection of ourselves. And that's a good validation. And it's good that you have the compassion and kindness for him that reflects a compassion and kindness for yourself. But you don't really need to find his answers. It's about finding your answers. And his issues are going to be different than yours, just by the very nature of it. And you may want to invite him into a talk group that you're in, or there are groups that people are in. There are 12-step programs for this. There's all kinds of things that you might befriend him in, but it doesn't sound like coupling with this person who has similar or same issues is your way to healing.
Well, I hope that it doesn't come from a trauma. I mean, I hope for him. But the thing is, how do I...
Well, it probably doesn't come from a good time. You know, it probably doesn't come from something good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely.
So, you know, you have to anticipate that it's going to come from something difficult.
But he may not be anywhere close to recognizing that.
To where you are and your good work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took me a while, so...
Yes. Yeah, that work is big, and it takes time and effort, and it's amazing that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of work, but I'm making it work. And he's been very supportive about it. So this is why I'm now also willing to be there for him, because he's been so much here for me in just 2 months, and I want to give back.
If he is a perfect guy, I feel like you could kind of tell him exactly everything that you told us. And hopefully he'll be really receptive. And
I hope so. I'm really scared to make him feel bad about.
Right now, she just needs to be honest, completely, like what you said. Have a real conversation.
Because you're not being cruel. You're not being cruel by any stretch of the imagination. And if he takes it as that, then that's a warning, you know. But I think exactly. Like having a. Pretty much sitting him down and telling him exactly everything you told us, that even like the kinky stuff or like this, and these are the things that you want, and maybe he, you know, like Sharon said, it may open up a lot of stuff in him that he hasn't really explored, but there's no harm, I think, in being incredibly frank. And I think if you don't, if you just like ghost him or something, you know, that's rude. And I don't think you want to do that. No. So listen to me using terms like ghost.
Using millennial terms. I like
I know.
That. So give her some final advice.
I think that's happened to all of us at this point. I mean, it's a technological reality of how people behave.
But Charlene, I think you just be honest and frank with him. Just, you sound so lovely. And I think the relationship seems worthy of an honest conversation.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It definitely is.
You seem to have an awful lot of generosity and care and compassion for others. Just be sure to have that much for yourself.
That's beautiful.
He's like me. He's as generous and kind. So I think...
Well, then no matter what, it seems that you found, at the very minimum, a very good friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charlene.
Oh, Charlene.
Charlene,
yes.
Thank you. I know it's
thank
late.
Thank you so much.
And you know what? I hope for the best for you guys. I hope that you're tearing it up in the sheets in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
That was great. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Sharon, you're incredible.
Well, that poor girl.
That was the quietest I've been in a long time.
That she just wants to go on that route to nowhere is really sad. And she's so hooked in. It's such a deep, it's a, such a neurotic interlock. 2 months and she just wants to help him and do this and do that. And she's in the middle of dealing with her stuff. It's like you just want to go, honey, psychiatrist's office, get over there. It's called a neurotic interlock. Get right down there and get it done.
I need more of you in my life.
Yes, definitely.
I probably need more of you in my life because you're hilarious and wonderful and cute and darling. And I love your kid.
Thank you. You were so sweet.
So cute.
You're lovely to him. Okay.
My sons would love him.
We have one more call.
Loves
and
older boys.
This call is not going to be nearly as heavy. We're just dealing with a creepy coworker. So we're going to call Lauren. She's in Atlanta. And she's 24.
Hello?
Hey, Lauren. It's Sim. How are you?
Hey, Sim. It's good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Lauren.
That's
it's Anna.
Anna.
Hi, Anna.
Hey, thank you so much for talking with us. And I can't believe that I get to introduce the most amazing Sharon Stone.
Hi.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi,
man,
honey.
Really
how
horrible.
Are you?
Sharon is
I'm
fucking
doing well.
Smart,
good.
Man. She is...
Yes.
I
can't wait to see how Sharon tackles this.
Lauren, I'm getting an education tonight for sure.
We all are.
We all are. Yeah. Ooh. Okay.
All right.
Anyway, sorry.
So Lauren, what's going on with your coworker?
Pretty much started becoming friends with this, older guy.
How old?
He's 33 and I'm 24. And purely like as friends, like knew other people in each other's departments. So started hanging out and talking, you know, like did happy hour with coworkers, went to a couple lunches, a couple solo lunches, but purely as friends, like to me, it was like very mentorish. He was giving me a lot of advice.
Oh,
anyways, it was going really well.
By the way, you have a boyfriend, right? Just make sure. Yeah. So you're not single.
Yeah. I am not single. I've been with my amazing boyfriend for 3 years. Actually, this Thursday is 3 years. And
I love that.
Knows about him.
I love it that I can feel your smile when you talk about him.
Yeah. but that's the thing is like I told my friend at work about it. Like obviously, I'm very open about how much in love I am, and so. It was just really interesting because we were at a solo lunch. He got my number and was like, going to introduce me to a friend for a career opportunity. And we got back from lunch. We got on our office computers and he sent me a chat through our business chat thing. And he goes, I should probably delete your number so I don't drunk text you.
So he doesn't drunk text you, right?
Yes.
Yes. So he's already.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So he's already being creepy.
Yep.
He's been doing that for a while. He's been making you feel uncomfortable with a bunch of uncomfortable texts. But right now you're feeling like he can also be an asset professionally, right? He introduced you to someone that can help advance your career. So you're trying to figure out how you can make this work. Whereas
I kind of want to hear more of the creepy things.
Oh, you do?
I do. I want to hear more of the creepy things.
All right.
Lauren, can we get more creepy?
Yeah, I sent Sim a lot. So we talked on Sunday and then,
has he said anything specifically sexually inappropriate to you?
No, nothing sexual and inappropriate. He hasn't like crossed any lines like that intensively, just like subtle things. And like, he's from the South. I'm not. So I feel like there's also like a cultural difference. Like I'm very like, I call it how it is. So like when he first said the thing about my having my number, I was like, yeah, you probably should. Like, haha. Like trying to play it off kind of funny, but like also like agreeing and being like, yes, you if you think that you're going to do that, like, yes, delete it.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Did your boyfriend get upset about this?
No, he was mad because I emailed you guys first to ask about it before telling him.
That's really cute.
But he wasn't like mad. He was just like,
thank you, Lauren.
You like told the show before you told me. And I was like, well, I don't know. I like didn't know how you'd react. But if I had the show, like I knew you'd think it was cool. So like we could like talk about it.
And do you have feelings about your own behavior leading up to it that you in any way were causative of this, either purposefully or by accident?
You have feeling towards the other guy at work?
That any of your behavior towards him, either purposefully or by accident, would have led this to occur?
I mean, that's something I've been racking my brain about. And I really don't think I have. Like, we haven't really talked a lot in person other than we go to lunch. And I, like, I'm not ever, like, close to him.
All right. Let me just mention a couple of things that I heard. And then you can tell me how they felt to you. You said that you had a couple solo lunches with him?
Yeah. Like in the beginning of us talking.
All right. So how many is a couple?
Two.
Okay. And then after those solo lunches, you gave him your phone number?
The second lunch, he was talking to me about this career opportunity and he was like, I really think you should meet my friend. And I was like, yeah, I would love that. That would
but
be great.
Or not. I heard that, but you did give him your phone number.
Yeah, he texted the friend.
Okay,
right there.
So you're young, Lauren, I understand, but he's a guy who would normally find you within his dateable group. And I'm sure you're a very attractive and bright person. You work in his circle. And so he considers you probably a colleague. Would that be correct?
We're in different departments, so we don't work together on a day-to-day basis. Like, we barely actually ever work.
Would he consider you a peer, someone that he would respect intellectually and so forth?
Absolutely, yes.
Right. So he probably considers you someone, you know, dateable for him. So, you know, I think he's probably, in his mind, complimenting you that he's had lunch with you a couple times, he has your number. He probably doesn't know you well enough to know whether you have a boyfriend or not.
Well, he does. That's what I mean, is we've talked about our openly about both of our respective relationships. Like, he's fully aware that I've been with Nick for 3 years and, you know, the common office joke is like, when am I getting engaged? But that's not really on the table for me or Nick. We're just career focused right now. And, oh, can you bleep his name out?
Yeah, sure.
So the thing is, those are intimate conversations when you talk about who you're dating. Those aren't work talks. And usually when we talk about our intimate life, it denotes intimacy. And that invites someone another step into our world. It might just all take care of itself if you write them a note or an email and just say, I've enjoyed meeting you and knowing you. And I just want to clarify my relationship with you a little bit so that I feel that I'm being clear here at work.
Right.
I admire you as a work colleague and I appreciate your mentorship.
I've definitely said several of those things to him.
But I think compiled.
But you might be missing the most important part.
I think compiling them in a specific email. Do you have a human resource department at your job?
Yes.
I think that compiling them in an email or a letter And then just says, I hope that by having lunch with you on my own, or giving you my number, which was specifically meant to be introduced to a work colleague, didn't any way seem as though I was being invitational or inappropriate, because I am not. I am in a relationship and I am engaged. But I do really enjoy your company and your friendship or whatever. And then you can take it to your human resource department and you can ask your human resource person, does this feel appropriate to send within the office? Because this person has not been inappropriate with me, but I am feeling slightly that I've gotten this relationship out of kilter, and I don't know if I had anything to do with it, or if in fact it's really even happening, but it feels a little uncomfortable. Is this the right way to phrase that?
That is so fucking brilliant. And Lauren, I know you're young, and this will be a hard, scary thing for you, but it will be such a moment of growth. And once you have... once you get something like this under your belt, every other instance will get easier and easier, because there's going to be times in your career when you have to fire people. There's going to be uncomfortable times if you're, you know, successful, as I know you are going to be, but you're going to have all kinds of these challenges within the workplace for the rest of your career. And it's really important right now to pass this first big hurdle. And it will be easier than you think, but in your head, while you're sort of composing the email, I think you should do exactly what Sharon said. But it'll feel a little scary. Your heart might be pounding a little bit as you walk towards human resources, but I think it is the wisest advice.
I think we want to just do clear, clean sentences, nothing ambiguous, because as we create boundaries in our life, which is really what this is all about, we don't want people to feel they're at all ambiguous.
Right.
They just should be really clear and clean and kind.
I love that.
Make sure you take screenshots of all your text messages that he sent you.
Yeah.
Just so you don't get erased by accident in case you need it.
We didn't get into too much of the stuff, but I think there is a lot more, like...
well, she's actually sent me the text messages, and you know, he's just being...
well, they're chat messages.
Chat messages, right. Yeah.
And, like, maybe it is because I'm young, but, like, and it's also a little twisted. I don't know if that part was fully clear, but it's, he's offering me, or he introduced me to someone, and I might be leaving my current position to go work for that person. So that's another twisted factor. And then on top of that, I just don't feel, like, the need to involve HR. Like, I feel like that's blowing it out of proportion, whereas, like, I'd rather just, like, stop talking to him and just, like, shut it down. But I don't know if that's something that you guys think is an option.
Is there a piece of this that you feel guilty or uncomfortable about that you don't want someone to know?
Yeah, the fact that he introduced me to someone that's, you know, a potential new career opportunity for me, like, I feel a little indebted. And, like, we were having a good friendship leading up to it. And then he just, like, opened his mouth and said something stupid. And I called him out. And now it's like, we can't be friends because he has a stupid crush. It's like, that's stupid. Like, that's annoying.
Maybe you and your fiancé need to invite him out to dinner to thank him for this new job opportunity.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
Him and his wife.
That'll put an end to it quickly.
Yeah.
Is he married?
Pretty brilliant.
That actually is brilliant.
Oh, well, then have you and your fiance invite him either over to your home or out to dinner.
A thank you. I love that.
As a thank you for this fantastic new job opportunity and how much you will look forward to spending time with them. And then be incredibly affectionate and kind and loving to your fiancé.
Future fiancé, but yeah.
And then just make sure you tell your boyfriend up front that you'd like him to demonstrate some proprietary behavior when you're together.
Definitely. Yeah.
That you want the guy to make sure that...
but is it okay if I leave HR out? Like, yes. Is that okay?
Course it is. But I think, what do you think, Anna?
Well, I think if you stay in your current position, here's the thing, is that I think...
maybe if I stay, yeah.
If you stay, because here's the thing, truly, I think that you sound really reasonable. Your hesitancy to go to HR means that you're reasonable. Because people who run straight to HR without flagging anything, I don't know, whatever. But
I don't want to, like, be dramatic.
Right.
I am young. I don't want to come off
right,
as,
but here's the
immature.
Thing. It won't
if
come
you
off.
Tell them.
It won't come off like that. It'll come off as strong.
I might be immature, but yeah. I want to make sure that I'm behaving correctly.
Right.
It doesn't have
Put
anything to
yourself.
Do with him. He hasn't done anything wrong, really.
Yeah.
But I just want to make sure I didn't signal incorrectly.
The HR will recognize you as a powerful person, and that is important.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah, if I stay, but if I leave, right. then I don't really.
If you
lay, feel
if you
the
leave,
need.
Go to dinner.
I like the way you brought that up.
Yeah,
though. Like you want to go to HR and make sure that she didn't signal anything incorrectly. That's a
yeah.
great approach.
Just as responsible.
And I think, yeah, not at all. I mean, you don't. I don't know. I think that it's. If you stay, I think you should definitely do that. And if you don't stay, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the dinner thing is a great idea.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah, and ask your boyfriend to really befriend him.
Yeah.
Be really buddies with him.
That will end everything right there. You'll never hear from him again after that dinner.
Have you met his wife before?
No, I haven't. No, I have not met her, but I've seen pictures, and I know what he got her for Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's weird.
It was like we were friends, and then it just got really weird.
Well,
so that's moral.
Well, it's really
that's probably another hesitation to go to HR because, like, I like you know, he's doing me a favor. I don't want to like cause a ruckus. So
I think you're really going to have to sit down with yourself and do some real conscious clearing and ask yourself if you are being too personal, and you might want to just might want to gently. Disengage from too much more personal sharing unless that's what you want, and then you're going to have to face that.
I was planning on just stopping communication for a while. And
I wouldn't
then
stop it completely. You might want to just professionalize your communication.
Right.
I feel,
right.
Lauren, when I was in my 20s, maybe I still do it too, I did a lot of like I guess sort of inadvertent friendliness, maybe. My need for people to like me, which I still have a strong need. That's why I do podcasts. Oh, God. I'm the worst.
Well, it worked. But, I love you.
Thanks. I love you too. But but I think that I was constantly giving maybe mixed signals to people constantly.
I tend to get told I'm very friendly. Not far off.
I don't want to blame myself for
I
people.
Don't intend to. No, I'm like you. I don't intend to give that impression.
Right.
I just am like a nice person.
Right. So. And I laugh at people's jokes that I don't think are that funny. Like I'm nice. I'll ask
right.
About
right.
Somebody's.
Let me ask you a question,
I'm overly
Lauren.
Empathetic.
Lauren, are you attractive?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
And
I don't know. Did Sim find me on Facebook?
Yeah, I yes,
we're
I found you on Facebook.
We're not asking Sim. We're asking you. Are you attractive? And do men find you attractive?
Yes.
It's important then that you don't misuse the power of that. You know, because it's not elegant as a woman to misuse that. And when we're young. You know, it's a little bit heady to be able to induce what you want to occur by the sheer power of the intoxication of your attractiveness. And when you're young, when you're in your 20s, it's the first time that you really recognize, look what I can do with that. And then you find, uh-oh, I maybe You're like in positions.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I was like, this is not what I meant to do. And this is definitely the first time this has ever happened to me in a corporate environment. So I'm
right.
just like.
But in reality, it happens before and it happens around you. And these are just the first time you're hearing like danger. You're feeling that danger feeling. And it's really wonderful that you reached out because of it, because it's important that you learn that your attractiveness has a purpose and it has meaning. And you have to be together in body, mind, and spirit. You know, one thing shouldn't just yank you around. And, you know, it becomes thin and your attractiveness or your beauty can become cheap if you allow it to take on lesser value. And if you use it for things, to gain things or to grab things or to manipulate people, even if you think, oh, it's just all in good fun, or, oh, I can do this because men have that, you know, in the end, you'll find that you build a person that you don't want to be. And when we're young, we're building ourselves. We're building the foundation of our character. It's like we're writing a book. And every day is a page in that book. But what you have to remember is, you know, you're going to look back when you're 30 and 40 and 50, and those pages are still in your book. That's still you. You know, you don't want to write a boring book. You want to write an exciting book where you failed and succeeded, and it's so exciting to read, and it's fine to make mistakes. That's what makes the story of you so wonderful. But you also don't want to write pages where you think, is that what I was really up to?
No, there's so much truth to what you just said.
Oh, it's, for me too.
It's
oh
something I definitely feel
for
like I stumbled into, but I'm very thankful for Anna for having the show and for having you on tonight, because I feel like you have so much, like that was just, wow, like so much wisdom that
it's
I can't
okay.
thank you enough for
it's
that.
It's okay to tell your boyfriend, and it's okay to tell this man. Look, you know, I might have sent out signals that I didn't mean to because I'm a lot younger than you, and I was really so flattered by your attention because I admire you and I really want to do better and get these other jobs, and I really like that you paid attention to me. It made me feel so special, but I didn't mean to, inure the wrong kind of attention. And I'm awkward still. I'm awkward in this. This is like my first important job. I want to, you know, do this, and I'm not smooth.
This has never happened before. So well, this is, I'm figuring it out as I go along.
It's okay not to be smooth. It's okay to stumble. It's okay not to be great at it.
Yeah. I feel like I would like to like be able to say that. I don't know if either in writing or in person, but one of the two, I just really say that. But I also don't want to like keep like, you know, being present in his life if I'm being like, you know, like if he's not
seeing
like
you,
if he can't get over. Yeah, right. Which like,
well, he can't get over it unless you fill in the rest of the coloring of the puzzle, because you have all the pieces there, and he doesn't.
Right.
He's just wanting to put some pieces down. Because you probably made him feel pretty special and attractive.
I kind of shut it down. I kind of sent like pretty straight messages to him. I was more rude though. I would want to do it in a more professional way. Like I kind of like snapped for a second and was like, dude, you're not getting it. And just like went off. But I would definitely think a more professional approach would kind of,
you can apologize,
solidify things and put yeah, right, exactly.
You can
own
just say you got scared by the whole situation.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Say, you know, the thing is, you are so special, you're so smart, you're so talented. I was so flattered to have attention by you, and I probably didn't handle it great. And I'd like to start over because I still think you're special and talented and smart, and I admire you, and I'd like to do better and not create an inappropriate circumstance, which I really don't mean because I'm madly in love with my boyfriend. I mean, this is not a big deal, and people do that.
It takes so long to figure out how to communicate like that. I don't know how to do that, you know, to identify everything within me and be able to project that, you know.
Well, because we get embarrassed, but yeah. Like, so what? So we're embarrassed for 5 minutes.
Because and our embarrassment is so much more powerful than any emotion.
To stand in front of someone and say, probably. I fucked up and I'm embarrassed and I'm really sorry, is hugely powerful.
Yeah. Yes, you will get a lot of respect.
Taking ownership is definitely. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, yes. And you'll, like, it will help you in all areas of your life. People really admire ownership. And
and you know, to finish that conversation by saying, you know, my boyfriend and I would like to invite your wife and you over to our house or out to dinner to thank you for everything you've done for me. And here's a handwritten invitation that you could give to your wife. And thanks and walk out is like an aces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Lauren, yeah. Lauren, that was intense. That was amazing.
Yeah.
I hope you should. I want you to play this back.
I have butterflies.
Play this back a couple of times when we release it because that was amazing.
Of course.
Lauren, we love you. Thank you so much.
I love you guys so much. What you guys do here is amazing, and I appreciate the transparency, and you guys are great. Thank you so much.
Thank
you. Love you guys.
Thank you, Lauren.
Bye, Lauren.
Bye.
Bye.
She's owned a big piece of herself.
Yeah.
She owned a big piece of her person.
Yes. Yeah, completely. You were amazing.
You were great, too.
Thanks. No,
we're good together, actually.
Yeah.
Sharon, do you want to take my place? Do you want to take my place? Why don't you? No. You'll have a regular gig. I'll sit over there. I won't talk.
No, but you did really good because you have that tender.
I really care.
And caring. You know what I mean? And I'm much more like, let's just cut to the fucking chase.
Yeah, but that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, sometimes you have to hear that.
Yeah. Like you cut right to the core.
Like,
it's incredible.
Own your attractiveness. Yeah. Own yourself as a person.
But I would never be able to give that because I'm not sure I feel those things, you know? Like, that's why we're unqualified.
You are sure you feel them, but somewhere in your background, somebody told you it's not okay to say it. Like, there's that beautiful poem, you know, who are you not to be beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you believe in God or the universe or whatever, that made you beautiful, Anna. And, I mean, you chose to be beautiful. The universe, this is like, it's your gift and it's part of your purpose in the world. Why would you go around pretending you don't know that you're beautiful? Like, it's a waste of fucking time because guess what? By the time you're my age, it's going to be flying out the door and you're going to be thinking, why didn't anybody tell me that I was so I could look in the mirror and go, you know what? You're fucking right. Look at me. I mean, it's stupid. It's just stupid that you're not supposed to think you're attractive. Like, look in the mirror yourself. Like, look at me. I'm a hot guy. We go around with all these stupid insecurities. Why?
I love this.
It's just a waste of goddamn time because people...
It's a waste of goddamn time!
Well, because people tell you you're supposed to be... what is it you're supposed to be about that? Like, humble, shy... Not think that that's okay.
God damn it, I'm hot.
Why shouldn't you think that
I am hot?
I want every one of my kids to think that they're just fantastic. I want them to walk into a room and think, I'm just fantastic and you're fucking lucky to know me.
You have given all of us such a gift.
What an amazing time.
Yeah.
This was an incredible... Thank you so much, Sharon.
Thank you.
Well, I just... Once... If you can own yourself...
Yeah.
Then you have the ability to be kind and gracious and good and present with everybody else. If you're busy walking around like, am I this? Am I that? Am I what's it? How are you going to be nice to anybody else?
Right.
I'm blown away.
I don't know. But you're being very kind and nice to me.
No,
but.
No, I'm like, you're just amazing. Thank you so, so much for being here. Oh, will you tell some... in unison, we tell Sim, we say fuck you, Sim, on the count of three. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, Sim.
Oh, she changed
fuck
it.
She
said thank you instead of fuck you.
It's beautiful. I was just saying yesterday.
Oh, we're going to say fuck you?
Oh, I thought she changed it.
Oh, ready? Okay.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Fuck you, Sam.
Ooh, that was hot.
Follow us on Unqualified on all of our social media. Please review on iTunes. And if you want to submit a question, go on unqualified.com. Good night, everyone.
Good night.